Well, good evening, everybody. Mike Malloy here. Thanks for tuning in. Welcome to tonight's program. It's getting very, very weird out there in Crazy Land, which is where all Republicans live. I came across this late this evening, right before we went on the air. Today, Barack Obama was addressing an AARP-sponsored meeting on health care, promoting his health care plan. And they were taking phone calls over a live hookup, and I think internet emails and so on and so forth. At one point, a woman asked Barack Obama if it were true that if his health care plan passes, that Medicare recipients would be visited by government agents and asked how and when they want to die. And I watched the video. Obama just sat there and didn't do what I would do, which is just shriek and start breaking things. He said, well, no, trust me, there's nothing like that. And he kept a straight face. He said there is a provision about helping people make a living will if they want to, but there is nothing about being visited by government agents who will tell people on Medicare, old people, you soon are going to have to pick your method and time of death. I listened to this and I watched this and I thought, how can it be that people in this country, adults, are so horrendously brain dead and totally, completely ignorant and out of touch with anything that even remotely resembles reality, that they believe that the purpose of Barack Obama's health care plan is to make it easy for the government to murder people? I mean, what is the craziness? Where does it come from? And I have an answer to that in a second. Now, this is right on the heels, of course, of all this stuff about Barack Obama is not an American-born citizen. They had to take a vote in the House today, and it passed unanimously, by the way, stating categorically that, yes, indeed, Barack Obama is a citizen of the United States. And all of these right-wing members of Congress who have been pushing the idea, questioning his birth validity, they all voted yes in favor of this thing. So, once again, who among the Republican base doesn't understand that these members of Congress just continue to stick it in your body orifices and break it off? What the hell is wrong with you? But this latest one is just beyond belief. It's beyond insanity. This enters into a kind of group psychopathology that I'm just not, I've never read about in this country. I've never heard about in the history of this country, where someone actually believe, and I'll get to this in a minute, a lot of people actually believe that with the passage of the healthcare reform, government agents are going to come to the homes of old people and not kill them. Maybe not. According to Limbaugh, they're going to be killed. But come to the homes of old people, Medicare recipients, and give them a choice and let them pick how and when they want to die. And people are believing this. People are believing this. That's what the healthcare reform is all about. And then to make this mad, you know, I'm listening to this, I'm thinking, no, this is just some left-wing blogger's idea of a joke. And then I watch some C-SPAN video of two representatives, this crazy son of a bitch from Georgia, Paul Brown, B-R-U-N, who is verifying the fact that the government is going to be killing people. Representative Virginia Fox of North Carolina, who also says that the Republican plan will not kill seniors The implication being that the Democratic plan will. I cannot get my mind around this. That the Republican base, as nutty as it is, as completely nutty, completely insane as it really is, that the Republican base consists of people who think that health care reform is a means of killing old people. Jesus Christ. And last week when I was ill, I watched Soylent Green. Is that where this comes from? Then, realizing that this latest, hideous, beyond belief, bizarre, morbid, pathological rumor about a President Obama that is being put out there by Republican members of Congress. What has happened? Then I watched some videotape of Limbaugh saying that people will be visited by government agents who will give them narcotics. He should know about this, shouldn't he? Enough so that they can just go to sleep but never wake up. And then it switches over to some radio program where this crazy son of a bitch from Tennessee, Fred Thompson, remember him? Fred Thompson is saying basically the same thing. Now, I realize that all, I've said this for a couple of years, all Republicans are insane. You have to be insane to vote Republican. You cannot be a sane human being and vote Republican. That's an impossibility. That's a stipulation. By definition, Republicans are totally crazy. But the people who direct the craziness, the people who herd these poor miserable bastards this way and then that way and then this way, people like Bill O'Reilly, people like Limbaugh, people like Fred Thompson, I mean, it just goes on and on. The ones who make millions of dollars herding this group of 5 or 10 million Americans this way and then that way. And one by one, they start to snap and they'll pick up a gun and go shoot a doctor while the doctor is ushering in church. They will go to they'll go to a Holocaust museum and gun down a guard. I mean, one by one, they peel off from the herd, this herd of group psychosis that is becoming a threat to everyone who's normal in this country. They'll peel off from this surging herd of crazy people, millions of crazy people who listen to this goddamn garbage all day long from the right-wing, death-dealing radio and television talk show hosts. It never lets up. It never stops. Now, if this isn't the zenith of this craziness, what in the name of Christ is going to come next? Now, Barack Obama's health plan is designed to kill Medicare recipients. And the head of the Republican Party and the conservative movement, Rush Limbaugh, has verified it. It's astonishing. Astonishing. I sometimes feel like I live in a nest of raving, limb-chewing, it's just crazy, drooling, red-eyed sons of bitches who want me to believe that that they have a right to exist in my country. They have a right to say this stuff. No, I say take them all out. Take all these crazy people out and turn them loose in a desert someplace and say, now, watch out, because great big birds are going to come and eat you.
From the moment you wake and leave the house in the morning, the terrorists or Democrats strike without warning. So to your back seat in bed, wear a bucket on your head. That's what I said. And to show your support for right-wing ideology, the raids on Iraq and the rape of the ecology, while the treasury's being bled.
21 past the hour.
Keep a bucket on your head.
I just, I know, and I've known for a long time, that a huge plurality of Americans are stupid, just totally, totally ignorant, to the extent that it becomes embarrassing. Just embarrassing to think, Jesus Christ, this is the kind of a society that I live in. This is the political awareness. This is the intelligence level of where I live. This is the great American empire. This is the, you know, all the superlatives are always larded on about the United States and about our way of life and this and that and this and that. And I think, how can it be, how can it possibly be that there is this hardcore of 30, 40 million Americans who would entertain the idea, first of all, that the President of the United States is not native born in keeping with the U.S. Constitution. And George in Oregon kind of puts it very succinctly. He writes, Mike, I wonder how many of the idiot birthers, Lou Dobbs, Hannity, and the pig man included, know that anybody who requires a security clearance is thoroughly investigated by the FBI, the DIA, and depending on the level of the clearance, the CIA. The president, being the commander-in-chief, has the highest security clearance in existence. President Obama was long ago cleared by these agencies as an American citizen. If there was any doubt, he never would have made it to the nomination. I've been through the clearance process, George writes, and they don't fool around. I'm sometimes mystified that some of the brain-dead bozos in Congress could pass the investigation. But then again, maybe they get a special mentally impaired limited clearance. Who knows? But for sure, all high-level officials that work in any security-related job or will have access to classified material are cleared before they can be appointed to those jobs or committees. How Dobbs and the rest of them don't know this illustrates the general ignorance level of right-wing broadcasting and, unfortunately, a large percentage of the population. That's part of it that drives me to distraction. And normally, I would do my best to try to ignore it. But I know that there are people out there who are crazy enough who will try to kill. They may try to kill the president. They kill doctors. They kill politicians. This is the United States of America. And this 20 or 30 million surging, brain-dead herd of morons and idiots and birthers and right-wingers, the Republicans, just being pushed this way and then pushed that way and then pushed this way and then pushed that way. It's picture those massive million bird flocks of starlings, for example, that you see in a video every once in a while. They go this way, millions of them. And then with no apparent signal, they go that way, millions of them, then back this way, and then up that way, and then down here. I fear for this country in a way that never, not during the communist threat that was never a threat, not during the missile gap that never existed, not during any of the wars that the military-industrial complex decided to wage against third-world countries to advance our kind of predatory capitalism. Not in any other period have I been this seriously concerned about the continuation of this country as I am now. And a good part of the reason that I feel this way is to come fully cognizant and face, I mean, eyeball to eyeball, this massive, insane ignorance that is perpetrated by monstrously overpaid sons of bitches who, I mean, can you imagine what would Sean Hannity or Rush Limbaugh or Lou Dobbs or G. Gordon Liddy or Michael Savage, what would these pigs do if they weren't working in broadcast? What would they do? Nothing. They're incapable of doing a goddamn thing. None of them has ever worked. Man. So here you and I are. I think the vast majority of normal people don't pay any attention to this. Until all of a sudden they hear of a doctor who's gunned down inside a church, for Christ's sake, while he's trying to usher people in for Sunday services. And then people pay attention for what? A minute? Really? How did that happen? Or when all of a sudden they hear, yeah, well, Congress just passed a law making it legal to carry loaded weapons into national parks. They did? Why? Oh, have you heard that Barack Obama's not a citizen of the United States? Oh, get the goddamn hell out of here. What are you talking about? But that's what's going on with this huge herd of dangerous, psychopathic right-wingers, people like Brent Bozell and Free Republic and Sean Hannity and Rush Limbaugh, this huge surging mass of bloody, drooling, pathological madness.
I was flying on UA-93. That shadow in the footage, it was probably me. I'm the rumor, I'm the doubt, I'm the lie. But you wouldn't stand near me if you didn't want to die. Everything you know is wrong.
Misinformation.
There's a verse missing out of this song.
Misinformation.
Everything you know is wrong.
Celebrate the next 100 years of engineering excellence at the GMC Summer Event. Check out the legendary 09 Sierra 1500 or the 8-passenger Acadia. Visit GMCDealer.com. Take delivery by July 31st. See dealer for details.
Like I need a hole in my head. Give up my whole day's wages to get this hole in the wall.
25 before the hour. And then there's this from the Delaware News Journal. I don't know if it's the Delaware News Journal. It's a newspaper, the News Journal that is published in Delaware. And it says this. When a woman in a red shirt stood up in a Georgetown senior center on June 30th and began yelling at U.S. Representative Mike Castle, a Republican, about Barack Obama's birth certificate, her rant was caught on video and has since become a TV and internet sensation. You all remember that, right? Remember that crazy bitch with the flag in her hand? I don't mean to use the term bitch in a sexist way. I just can't stand these goddamn people. I don't know what else to say. I mean, it makes me mad, insane mad. Clips from it have been featured worldwide on CNN, MSNBC, Drudge Report, Limbaugh's radio talk show, and catapulted the woman into the unlikely role as a spokeswoman for the so-called birther movement, whose members question whether Obama is a native-born American and eligible to serve as president. While there are some diehard conservatives who truly believe Obama was born in Kenya and not Hawaii, the impact of the Georgetown video shows how public perception can be easily distorted in the digital age, says Josh Dyke, an assistant professor of American politics at State University of New York at Buffalo. Let me digress a moment. I disagree with Professor Josh Dyke. Not how public perception can be distorted in the digital age, but how 12, 14 years of unending brainwashing by right-wing talk radio has made 30 million people clinically insane. To the point that they're like a huge herd that could be moved this way, and then moved that way, and then moved up here, and then moved down here, until one or two of them peel off and go shoot people. Back to the article. This professor says, quote, the existence of the internet and the existence of cable news allows things like this to become sort of bigger than they are. Sort of? This is very strong anti-Obama sentiment, he says, that exists among conservatives in this country. No, I disagree again, Professor. It exists among crazy... Oh, that's right. Conservatives are crazy. Never mind. And so, the professor says, anything that can be latched onto sort of manifests. And here's the kicker. The star of this particular show is known as Crazy Eileen to callers of a Sussex County talk radio station. Crazy Eileen, according to the newspaper, that's how they identify her, has gone into seclusion, declining interviews, and avoiding publicity, even as previous statements by her have emerged, referring to Obama as the Antichrist, and Crazy Eileen talking about aliens and angels who have taken over the government. Now, you don't believe, gentle listener, that these Free Republic, Limbaugh, Drudge Report, suckheads are not completely mad. They're completely insane. And you know who is the perfect personification of this madness? Is their new darling, Sarah Palin, who stands in a church a couple of years ago and has demons cast away from her so that none will possess her. Who resigns the governorship in Alaska in order to enhance the governorship of Alaska or something, whose statements are totally disjointed, totally disconnected from reality. You can look at Sarah Palin. Let me rephrase it. I can look at Sarah Palin and look in her eyes and see a total collapse of anything that even resembles reality. This is a woman who is absorbing more and more and more of her own life force, if you know what I mean by that. She is eating herself alive. She honestly is starting to believe what the brain-dead teabaggers and birthers and the Obama's health care plan is to murder old people, what the adulation and the praise and the cheering that they heap on this crazy psychopath when she makes a public speech. And I'm hoping, I'm praying, while I hope that Rush Limbaugh will choke to death on his own throat fat, I also hope that Sarah Palin will drive herself completely, completely into madness. And I think the possibility truly exists. If you watch her, watch this kind of glittering, rabid look in her eyes, a shiny look. And when she talks, the body language, the half completed sentence, and then she comes back with a kicker that makes no sense and stands there and waits for the applause as if, look, haven't I done a good job? I'll learn how to wipe myself, mommy. Look. It's crazy. Crazy. And yet she, I mean, this racist anti-Semite Pat Buchanan, this complete nativist psychopath, Lou Dobbs. I mean, these people fawn over her. I think what Pat Buchanan wants is just to get her in bed. I think Buchanan would like to get anybody in bed. Man, and the madness of all this, the total. Insanity of these, this huge, and it is huge, herd of quacking, clucking idiots who get pushed this way, and then that way, and then up here, and then down here. And all they have to do every day, they turn on their radios or they turn on their televisions to get pumped full of more of this madness. Absolute madness. I don't know. Sometimes, please forgive me for this because I really do mean it. You don't have to forgive me. I really don't give a damn. But sometimes I think to myself, I get these fantasies about, yes, some kind of epidemic sweeps across the country. and millions of people dropped like flies. But for some reason, the virus or the germ or the microbe only attacks adult right-wingers. It only gets, for some reason, that there is some kind of a loose synapse in their heads, or millions of loose synapses that attract this microbe, and it enters through their ears or their eyes or something, you know, and they just fall down and die. Oh my God. Well, and then I saw tonight on whose program was it? Oberman's program with Howard Dean substituting. William Shatner took a huge chunk of Palin's resignation speech and set it to bongos and an upright bass, the same kind of stuff that we used to do back in the 60s, back right before the hippies, there was the beatniks, you know. And, you know, the whole beat movement. And it was so cool to go to a, like, coffee shop, and I don't mean a Starbucks, and see people, men with beards and black berets, and women in black tights and mini skirts. I'm talking late 50s, early 60s. And, the bongo players and the freeform jazz players and the upright bass players. And some fool would get up and read his or her poetry, which was really kind of garbagey, but they would also read Ferlinghetti or Ginsberg or Herbert Hunke or Gregory Corso or that whole list of beat poets but I digress. William Shatner read a huge chunk of her resignation speech, and it reminded me, I have these fleeting memories of what it was like as a kid in high school to go into these coffee houses and hear this stuff and think, oh my God, what's this? But there was Shatner here 50 years later doing it again, and it was he was on The Tonight Show doing this, and it was just absolutely gleeful to hear Shatner read her resignation speech as if it were kind of freeform beat poetry. Maybe you saw that. Now, when we come back after this break, something that Barack Obama has ordered where it concerns Dick Cheney, and it's been done by executive order. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. Just look around. A thousand years to build, and now it's coming down. If this were a movie, I'd say the acting's pretty bad. Everyone's stiff. Dialogue so sad. If this were a movie plot, I wouldn't believe it. But if this were a movie, I could get up and leave it. Yeah, if this were a movie, I could get up and leave it. Celebrate the next 100 years of engineering excellence at the GMC Summer Event. Check out the legendary 09 Sierra 1500 or the 8-passenger Acadia. Visit gmcdealer.com and take delivery by July 31st. See dealer for details.
One little problem that confronts you. Got a monkey on your back. Just one more fix, love.
It's about 9 before the hour. Bob writes in, people are hugely stupid, all right. 47% of Americans believe that the Earth is 6,000 years old. That's statistically half. That's all we need to know. All stupidity follows from that great big goddamn scary fact. Having spent the better part of the past 5 or 6 days, except when I hauled myself up to go to Molly's birthday party, flat on my ass in bed watching television during the day, news channels, no. I go to National Geographic Channel, Science Channel, Discovery Channel, some amazing stuff on there, especially on the Science Channel. About discoveries, whether they're geological or have to do with archaeological finds, footprints in Australia that are 20,000 years old, amazing stuff. It's amazing what's on television during the day. I had no idea. And I look at that stuff and I think, wow, this is really good stuff put together by the BBC and WGBH in Boston and, underwritten by, certainly not corporate America, underwritten by funds that are set up. Trust funds, not trust funds, but, like the John T. McDonald Trust or whatever. But, nonprofit foundations. That's what I'm trying to say. You know, most of them funded that way. And the science and the visuals are getting so good when they're doing stuff about, like one today that was astonishing. A lot of you know about this already. This Yellowstone National Park sits in the crater of an extinct volcano, the remains of which are alive and threatening deep under the crust of the earth. And Old Faithful, for example, is just one manifestation of that huge volcano that's just sitting there, right in the heartland of America. The last time it went off, geologists believe it was about 47,000, or last time a, what they call a monster volcano, not monster, but the meaning is the same. Last time one of these went off was about 47,000 years ago, and it can bring on an ice age. If the thing in Yellowstone ever goes off, the devastation will be complete. It'll be very unlikely that the human beings do survive, but our numbers would be reduced by probably 98%. It's astonishing. You watch this stuff, you think, Jesus, God. And they're arguing about whether or not Barack Obama has a birth certificate, for Christ's sake. And the event that occurred on Jupiter, first witnessed and reported by an amateur Australian astronomer, was a couple of weeks ago. This comet, was it a comet or an asteroid that slammed into Jupiter? Jupiter seems to be kind of the buffer for the United States, for the Earth. And you look at this stuff and you realize had that comet hit the globe, our globe, we never would have known it. We might have had a moment of seeing, hey, what's that thing in the that kind of situation. But all this stuff is going on. How much do we budget for an early warning system for incoming asteroids or comets heading towards the Earth? 3, 2, 1. That's right. Nothing. Not a penny. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. As a world community. I'm not talking about the U.S. World community. And anyway, I watch this stuff and I listen to this stuff and I think, like Bob writes, half of Americans believe the Earth is 6,000 years old. How can that be? How can that possibly be? Do they not believe that the speed of light is 186,000 miles a second and that when scientists refer to as one light year, they're talking about trillions of miles. When they refer to 13 billion light years away is the edge of the expanding universe. When these brain dead people hear that, do they just sit there and pick their noses and eat the boogers? What, and say, bless you, Jesus. What do they do? Half of Americans believe the Earth is 6,000 years old. Good God. And Reg writes, I've concluded that the great unthinking lemmings in this country are suffering from Stockholm syndrome, in which hostages show signs of loyalty to the hostage takers. regardless of the danger or risk in which they've been placed. With the onset of 9/11, the American public has been totally brainwashed to believe that there are terrorists in every closet just waiting to eat their children. The well-planned terror campaign by those who came to power in 2000 was waged very expertly for so many years, and from that time to this very day, conservatives and right-wingers were presented to the public as their only salvation, and anyone to the left of Attila the Hun was painted as a co-conspirator who supported the terrorist hordes. I have to believe that right-wing talk radio, as well as the corporate-controlled media, have succeeded in their plan to hold as many Americans as possible as hostage, and have managed to convince them that only they, the right-wingers, and the ideologies they espouse can save them from imminent eradication. They may be evil, but I'm beginning to believe that they know exactly what they're doing. Reg. Yeah, and I always wonder myself, to what end? I mean, what does a power mad individual gain when he controls an empire full of insane people? What is that?
Recently, new.
Welcome back. 7 past the hour. This is the Malloy program. And yeah, I'm still froggy and screwed up with this bronchitis, but we're here. And so are you. So what else do we need, right? In a moment, what Barack Obama has ordered to happen to Dick Cheney by executive order. And I didn't know about this. It was a week ago. Matter of fact, a week ago today, when this order came down. But first, listen, I need to talk to you. When we first went independent, we had a great surge of podcast subscribers who decided to support the program. And that was wonderful, and it got us launched. And then our business partners took over the advertising, internet advertising, and broadcast advertising aspect of the program, because obviously Kathy and I can't do that. And that helped a bit. But the podcast subscriptions are starting to become very, very minimal coming in the new subscriptions. And I have to tell you again, we're not asking for a handout or a donation. This is a business, Malloy Broadcasting. But in order for the business to survive, we must have podcast subscribers. It costs $59.40 a year. And that works out to 25 cents a program, as you've heard me say over and over and over again. And I have to be honest with you, if the subscriptions don't begin to flow in, and I'm not talking about donations. I know a lot of people send me emails and say, well, I can kick in $500. No, 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 no. In the first place, we're not set up to handle that at all. We are an LLC, and we can't accept donations. There is no way we could do that. We appreciate the thought, but we can't do it. We have to sell you something. And the thing that we have to sell you above everything else are these podcast subscriptions, so that you can download this program whenever, wherever you want to, and listen to commercial-free Malloy Show anywhere on the planet. But if we don't get the response, then of course this whole experiment in giving you the only completely independent radio program anywhere in this country, left or right, this is it. There are other radio programs that exist on only on ad sales or only on podcast subscriptions or what have you. But this is the only one that is set up the way it is, the only program. And without the support, we're going to disappear. And there's no coming back this time. In the past, when we've disappeared because we've been fired for being too liberal or went to work for Air America that went to bankrupt and turned out to be a bunch of chiselers, or worked for Nova M and the investments ran out, whatever. In the past, we've always managed to come back. But there are no networks anymore that pay living wages to people to do this kind of work. They do not exist unless it's right wing. Surely you know this. I mean, every right winger on the air is fat and happy and makes a lot of money because corporate America makes sure that that happens because of the nature of right wing talk radio, which is to hide what is going on. As far as liberal or progressive talk, it is, as it always is, it's, getting by. There are certain programs that are doing quite well, thank you. But in order for this to continue, if you want the Malloy program to continue, and I know 90% of the people out there in Radioland would like to see this program fail and disappear because we irritate the Christ out of people. You know, when some right-wing freak like Brent Bozell has to write about this program in a Pittsburgh right-wing newspaper about the ugliness that we come up with for Rush Limbaugh, that will give you an indication of how the focus is on right now to end this program. That's not paranoia. It's a fact. So, end of pitch. If you want this program to continue, if you really want it to continue, you'll subscribe. That's all. You'll just get these subscriptions. It's $7.95 a month or $59.60 or 40 cents a year. So it's up to you. I mean, it literally is up to you. We rolled the dice on this one, Kathy and me, and took just about every dime we had to get this going. And don't regret it. I mean, if this goes belly up, fine. We'll do something else. But we're hoping that's not going to happen. I don't mean to give you a harsh pitch here. You know, that's not how you sell things, by saying to people, you got to buy this or God will kill your firstborn. You know, that's not, I don't like that kind of a pitch. I had to do that when I was running for office here in Georgia until I realized, you can't do this, Malloy. Get out of it quickly because you can't ask people for money. And I can't. But this is not asking for a donation. This is asking you to purchase something. This program, the podcast subscription, it is critical. And I'm going to try to stay away from constantly flogging this, but I just wanted to get that said tonight. We need you to support the program. It's very simple. And the way you support the program is subscribe to the podcast. That's all you have to do. That's all you have to do. And get the word out. Try to get folks, to participate in that. There's no such thing as free anymore. It just isn't there. It's not there anymore. Media is not free. You have to pay. And it's come to that, especially if you want to hear progressive or sensible or logical or rational talk radio. You have to pay for it. You're not going to hear it for free. So, the choice is entirely up to the listeners. It really, really, really is. All we can do is sit here night after night after night and do these programs and hope that the support is there. But if it's not, this program will disappear. There is no question. It will disappear. So not asking for a big deal, not asking for donations, not asking for a charitable trust to take over. What we're asking you to do is subscribe to the podcasts. That's all. It'll cost you 25 cents a program. Jesus, come on. Seriously. All right. End of lecture. This is what we deal with on a daily basis. And again, if you want the show to continue, we need your support. Now, for everybody who's already subscribed, yeah, I said before, we have it locked in until the end of this year. But you know when the end of this year is? what do we have? 6 months left? 5 months left? It's got to happen or we're gone. It's so simple. And again, this time there's no coming back. This is not like being fired by a radio station because I'm too liberal, or dropped by a syndicator because I'm too liberal, or disappear from the airwaves because the company goes bankrupt. No, 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 no. There's no coming back. So if for those of you who have already subscribed, you're safe. We're here. But beyond that that initial surge, you call the shots. Now, what did Barack Obama do to Dick Cheney, who would like to literally, well, figuratively, if not literally, cut Barack Obama's throat? You know he would. Cheney wants an attack on this country during the Obama administration. Cheney wants to see Barack Obama fail more than he wants his pacemaker to keep going. He is that insane. So what did Barack Obama do? He extended, for at least another 6 months, Cheney's Secret Service protection. Now, normally, ex-vice presidents only get 6 months of protection at taxpayer expense. But Cheney begged for the extension. And Obama, who Cheney has excoriated in several interviews since leaving office, signed off on it. Obama said, okay, give it to the pasty son of a bitch. Homeland Security Secretary, I don't know if he said that at all, I'm just putting words in his mouth. Homeland Security Secretary Janet Napolitano signed the order extending Cheney's security detail. That was confirmed, I think, last Monday. If the Obama administration hadn't gone along with this miserable son of a bitch begging, he would have been forced to hire his own security agents or go without. Why is this happening? Because Cheney's friends have said that he has become more concerned about his personal safety than ever before. You realize how hated this man is. You realize how hated this man is, right? Like all so-called protectees, Cheney can petition the government for additional extension of Secret Service protection. And several sources close to Cheney said he will do this once the new extension lapses too. So Barack Obama, as an act of pure charity for this miserable son of a bitch, extended his Secret Service protection. You know how many people would like to ding Dick Cheney all over the globe?
Let me ask you one question. Is your money that good? Or will it buy your forgiveness?
Celebrate the next 100 years of engineering excellence at the GMC Summer Event. Check out the legendary 09 Sierra 1500 or the 8-passenger Acadia. Visit GMCdealer.com. Take delivery by July 31st. See dealer for details. It's 22 past the hour. Diane in Pittsburgh writes, Mike, why can't he pay for protection for himself? You know, Cheney, he hasn't stolen enough money from the American people to be able to afford to protect his own sorry, worthless ass. Well, Cheney is the type of person that, like all right-wingers, you know, they complain about Social Security. They complain about Medicare. They complain about this and that. But they will suck up every dime they can. Every single dime they can. It's one of the appalling things about this effort by the Obama administration to pass some kind of health care reform, and that's all it is reform. It doesn't nearly do what those of us on the progressive left would hope it would do. I don't know that that will ever happen, single payer, in this sad, dusty country. But one of the appalling realities of this is that if every American had what members of Congress had in terms of health care, there'd be no problem. But these miserable sons of bitches, these Republicans and not a few Democrats who have become complete shills, that's all they are, for the pharmaceutical industrial complex, they don't care. They don't care a thing about the fact that they have perfect health care coverage that could very easily be extended to every American, and yet they're not going to vote for it. That's the kind of stuff that leads to armed revolution. It really is. When income disparity becomes so great, when the ruling class, including the members of the ruling class who are now the governing class, and don't even check as to how many millionaires now exist in the, occupy the 535 seats of the House and Senate. Don't check. Don't do research on that. It will make your head spin. But when it gets to the point where the serfdom of this country becomes readily obvious to anyone who's paying attention, then this country's going to explode. It will explode. And the slaughter will be mind-bending because the ruling class will not relinquish power. You know that as well as I know it. So we're in kind of a hell of a fix. That's one of the reasons I was such an Obama supporter. First of all, look what was on the other side. And secondly, no, I didn't go for a third-party ticket for the obvious reasons. I'm not into political suicide. Not yet. But, or not then, anyway. But the reason I supported Obama was because I thought that he would represent enough change to kind of shift things around. And I honestly believe that he could have, except for the fact that once he was elected, once the power in this country realized they're going to have to deal with Barack Obama, then they started to turn the screws on him. Now, that may be a complete crazed assessment on my part. Maybe such a thing couldn't possibly exist. I'm just telling you why I supported him. Our military affairs correspondent, Sharon, has been unemployed now for a number of months. She wrote in today a personal note in addition to the article she sent me that I hope I get to tonight. But Sharon writes, I had to make a trip to one of the Department of Labor sites in the Atlanta area. I'm still unemployed today. When I left, there was a man standing in the parking lot getting people to sign a petition. I asked him several questions about the petition because I didn't want to sign something that was bogus. Turned out it was a petition to reform our healthcare system and have a public option. As I was about to walk away, I noticed he was wearing a UAW shirt. I asked if he was with the UAW, and he said, yeah, but that his job in Atlanta had been eliminated. I told him, we need more unions. He said, you got that right, sister. From Dorothy, I got time to do this? No, we're running out of time. I'll do Dorothy's email when we come back. And I have a moment with Bob tonight. It's a brief moment with Bob, but it's a moment with Bob nonetheless. So stick around. Very shortly when we return, we'll take your phone calls. There are some other things I want to introduce into the discussion tonight, or the monologue, or whatever the hell this is. But we do want to include your phone calls. So stick around, all right? Stick around. Don't leave. I'm Mike Malloy.
He's a liberal with a microphone, and that makes him dangerous. It's Mike Malloy.
It's about 25 before the hour. Bob in Miami sent me one of my favorite quotes. Voltaire, I believe, those who can make you believe absurdities can make you commit atrocities. And that's in regard to what I was talking about earlier about this huge multi-million person mass of Americans who are so easily pushed first this way and then that way by these right-wing insane people. Those who can make you believe absurdities can make you commit atrocities. From Dorothy, if the she's writing this to the Blue Dog Democrats, who these are the conservative Democrats, mostly from the South, in Congress, who are stating, for the record, that they are against all this spending and debt that will be entailed with the Obama health care reform plan. Dorothy writes, if you Blue Dogs were truly worried about wasteful spending, why didn't you use your influence to curb the outrageous looting of the federal treasury by defense contractors, which remains by far the largest drain on the public purse? You might even have spoken out against the brazen theft of billions of dollars by private contractors in Iraq, whose thievery harmed troops as well as us taxpayers. You might have cautioned against squandering hundreds of billions of dollars on programs that don't work and probably never will, from the F-22 jet fighter to the ballistic missile defense system. Yet, with precious few exceptions, you Blue Dog Democrats whisper nary a word against military extravagance. Are you also like your leader and mindlessly endorse the expansion of virtually all and any military program simply because some of those dollars end up in your district? With good Americans like you, who needs traitors? She was addressing this to the House, House.gov, and by your leader. I don't know if she's whoever leads that caucus of so-called Blue Dog Democrats. All right, I believe it's time once again for a brief moment with Bob. Once again, another episode of A Moment with Bob, brought to you by your friends at International Conspiracy Limited, or someplace. I got this, did I get this today? Yeah, I think I got it today. Bob writes, hey Mike, why will we not get blank, you fill in the blank, reform? What is it this time? Campaign reform? Media reform? Oh yeah, healthcare reform. Why will we not get that? As Kathy wrote on her blog today, what does it take, truth seekers, to get meaningful health care reform in this country? Can we ever get past the greedy lobbyists, the greedier insurance industries, and greediest of all, Big Pharma, to finally guarantee every citizen what should be a basic right and is in every other industrialized nation? The right to be treated when we are sick, the right to preventive medicine to keep us healthy, and that these rights be guaranteed to everyone fairly, regardless of age, financial status, or pre-existing condition, end quote. Kathy, this morning, at the website. Bob, as long as our elected representatives represent the people that give them big bags of cash, we will not see any meaningful reform in any sector, ever. It won't happen because, historically, capitalism has never voluntarily turned off a money spigot. Ever. I remember in 2004 listening to Dennis Kucinich talk about health care, not health care insurance. Huge semantic difference, something no one except Dennis Kucinich seemed to notice or care about. A long time ago, Americans fought and won concessions from capitalism and the government it controls. We organized. We organized and demanded fair wages and decent hours. Women organized and demanded the right to vote. African Americans organized and demanded civil rights. We organized, demanded, held strikes, boycotted, and won. That's what Americans did, and that's how it worked for most of the last century. Years pass. Now we're scared. Too scared to demand what was written in our Constitution, Too scared to declare our independence from oppression. I received an email yesterday from someone who was too scared to download a petition, much less sign it, and put it in the mail. If every member of Congress and every senator received letters from the majority of their constituents demanding health care and threatened to toss them out of their phony baloney jobs next election unless their demand is met, well, without that, nothing's going to happen. As Stephen Pizzo wrote, quote, no genuine, undiluted public option, then no re-election. No kidding. End quote. A national strike is necessary. A national strike is not going to happen. For some reason, the French have figured it out, but we're clueless. If we don't demand justice, we're just not going to get it. I watched V for Vendetta again last night. And the line in there, people should not be afraid of their governments. Governments should be afraid of their people. What is it about that simple American statement that Americans just don't get? Bob. Another moment with Bob, brought to you by your friends at Offshore Drilling. All right, as promised, last night I said we had a couple of emails that were a little lengthy, but they're not like a cri de coeur or anything like that, but they're very intense, I think. Here's the first one. This is from Andy in Seattle. Andy writes, let me understand what's going on this past week. We're all in an uproar on how a white police officer has been victimized by a black man who managed to get elected to the White House. All the time ignoring that what the officer did was totally screwed up, and no matter how you look at it, was at the very least racially profiling Mr. Gates. And we're going to have a delay on the miracle that has been promised for generations, literally generations, on health care reform. Health care reform brought to you by the corporate-run U.S. Congress, the corporate-supported U.S. president, the healthcare industry, and the AMA. Because with that group of people helping this along, you know we're screwed. Oh, and how can we afford health care and the world's, hell, the galaxy's largest military empire? I'm a pretty stupid guy, Mike, but I don't think we can have both. At best, it seems to be one or the other choice, but what do I know? I only have a BA in history and economics. Then we come to the other elephant in the room, and we're not talking about the right-wing lardasses listening to your show writing hate mail right now, but the upcoming death of Social Security. Remember when we were all up in arms over our 401ks vanishing last fall? Oh, wait, the public forgot. I mean, it was nearly 10 whole months ago. And in the meantime, Michael Jackson died. Well, I haven't, and I'd like to know what I get to look forward to at my retirement party. I'm sure we'll all be elated come 2049. A corporatist Democrat will be in the White House after defeating a psycho-fascist Republican the previous November, and the excitement in the air will be palpable. The Democrats now control 99 seats in the Senate and 400 seats in the House. Change is in the air, and the big news is the Democrats talked Republicans into reducing the retirement age of 78 years to 77 years and 10 months. Yes, the Democrats are celebrating this victory for average Americans. I mean, two whole more months of retirement. Mike, think of what that means. Not only that, Social Security not only will cover your funeral expenses, but also the cyanide tablet you take upon retirement if you can't live on the Social Security payment. Senator Trig Palin thought that the government providing people the means to kill themselves with some amount of dignity as opposed to starving to death in the streets was too much like Nazi, Islamo-fascist, communist anarchy, though he still supports stoning the poor elderly to death. People kill themselves, you ask? Yes. That was the invention of Sister Sarah Palin's 20-year presidency for Jesus from 2013 to 2033. Jesus told her that if her children were not worth at least $5 million upon retirement by using Jesus-oriented investments in the Holy Blessed stock market, then they failed to show proper faith in Jesus and must be put to death by stoning in the public square. Remember, you know Jesus loves you by how much money you have. Oh, and Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid sponsored the Senate's version of this bill as a show of bipartisanship. Yeah, Mike, I tried to be optimistic, but at 38 years old, I already know me and nearly everyone my age is going to die at our jobs, not our choice, but out of necessity. Republicans started it, but the Democrats sure as hell didn't put up a fight to reverse it. Why haven't we stormed the Bastille? The Bastille. Andy in Seattle. Well, I don't know why we haven't. I guess because Barack Obama, or was it Bill Clinton or Al Gore, took away all our guns. I don't know. All right, one more when we come back from Dana in Lake St. Louis, Missouri. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. Before the hour, all right, coming up after this break, at the top of the hour, we will take your phone calls. So if you would like to get online now, we shall release the phones. And you can do that. The number is 877-996-2556. All right, this is from Dana. Dana writes, Dear Mike, I'm a longtime listener and now a subscriber. I called once, but I'm so very shy I got all tongue-tied, so I'm sticking with email. Got home from a vacation and listened to your podcast. I was really taken with your program of July 21st in which you asked listeners to call in with their thoughts on what's going to happen to us as a result of an economic collapse. I loved hearing that long-haul trucker describe towns across the heartland hollowed out, without a center, devoid of meaningful work. I've seen it in towns around here in Missouri, too. Small cities like Ellsbury and Hannibal and Steelville and big towns like St. Louis. Sadly, there are many people who never see it. They live in a fancy suburb, like mine, I'll admit. They work among the ever-dwindling ranks of cubicles and other staff with inexplicable jobs in the movement of digits on screens. The only places they ever go are in their tidy towns, gated subdivisions, shopping malls, sanitized offices, and vacations to even more sanitized resorts. In their world, no one needs public health coverage or food assistance. The earth is clean and in no danger of cataclysmic warming. Just look how green the lawns are. God always rewards good people with money and a nice place to live. They're beyond selfish. They are solipsists who simply cannot understand, let alone empathize, with people who don't share their hermetically sealed existence. They're the ones, like two of your callers tonight, who worry about how you labeled people, which is like a fiddling while Rome burns. What do I think will happen? Well, I think it's all going to collapse, and really it must. The problems are too big, too interlocking, and too broken to admit repair. Oil's peaking, the earth is heating up. The money, quote-quote, has melted away. Our food supply is insecure. Medical care is out of reach for most people. And government at the local, state, and federal levels is hopelessly corrupt. And so is the media. Collapse sounds ominous, and it will be painful for most and deadly for some. I don't want to minimize the suffering, but there might be some good in it. It will definitely help the environment and reduce greenhouse emissions if human industrial capacity grinds to a halt and food production of necessity becomes more local. Millions of people would be out from under work that is dehumanizing. I spoke to a fellow who works at a big box store about this recently, and he said it beautifully. He said, great, I'll have a horse and my garden, and I won't have to come here anymore. His sentiments are crystallizing into a quiet movement of people who are preparing for a transition to a world where energy, stuff, and services are far less abundant. I know so many people, I'm one too, who are refocusing on basic skills like gardening, sewing, making repairs, cooking, and raising small farm animals in preparation for a world of greater scarcity. There's actually something comforting about it all. When you chat with people about this, a lot of superficial differences appear, and you'll find a common ground. I don't want to sound like a Pollyanna, and I'm very aware that this is not going to be easy. We could be looking at extreme hunger and right-wing violence as the U.S. contracts, but I know many people who are approaching the situation with realism and kindness. They are simply turning their backs as much as they can on corporations, the government, and the media. They're trying to live better by driving less, shopping less, and owning less. People are looking for meaning in simple activities like growing food or repairing their cars. Just imagine the whole vile legacy of American fascism, from Walmart to Wall Street to Washington to the war machine, finally brought to an end because people just don't need anything it's serving up. I'm probably dreaming, but in the meantime, I'm gardening, learning to sew, cooking more for the kids, and doing odd jobs to supplement the flagging income of my small business. And that's bringing me some peace. Dana, Lake St. Louis, Missouri. I get a lot of these emails from people who are acutely aware that this country really, really, really is in a transitory situation right now. And how it's going to turn out is anybody's guess. The one thing that kind of pisses me off, that unless I'm extremely fortunate, I may not be around to see what happens. And I'd like to. I'd like to see how all this turns out. You know what I'm saying? If the change is swift, then I good chance I might be around to see it. But if the change is lengthy, my odds diminish or increase, whichever. So the fact, though, that we are in this period of transition, American empire is ending. I don't think you need to be, you know, a weatherman to figure out which way that wind is blowing. We can't keep this up. I think it is abundantly clear. I appreciate Barack Obama's insistent, almost cloying optimism and refusal to, to act as though there's no reason to continue to fix the system. Although I think it's kind of goofy. The system is broken, Mr. President. It is irreparably, completely and totally broken. And we can keep playing this game, I guess, until finally it becomes apparent even to the most ardent corporatists that it is broken. And then we will devolve into that situation of a few controlling the millions, if not the billions, or we will have the kind of resistance and revolution that this planet has never seen. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. back. It is 7 past the hour on the Malloy program. What else we got here? I can't get over this birther nonsense to the extent that today the House unanimously passed the fact that it was even put up for consideration is the part that drives me mad. The House unanimously passed a bill declaring Hawaii the birthplace to President Obama. The bill passed unanimously. Even the nutty Michelle Bachmann voted for it. So, makes you wonder how much longer will CNN continue to parrot Fox News and these clowns like Limbaugh and Beck in keeping this myth going. You know, when are they going to rein in Lou Dobbs, another one of these rich corporatist sons of bitches who couldn't care less about the average person, only his own corpulent self? All right, phone calls. Ken is calling from Sacramento.
Hello?
Listening on you're listening on KTLK.
Mike?
Yes, can you hear me? Can you
Mike?
Hear me?
Are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, good.
Can you hear me now?
Truth to power.
Okay.
All right. My sister is raising goats in Northern California to get around the rules of milking and how you can deliver milk to people who live in a discrete area. She has to have a co-op, but it works perfectly. Everybody's an owner, so they can drink their own goat's milk. No dairy farm rules.
Uh huh.
And she is a she is truth to power herself. She you know, free range hens and free range chickens, free range goats. So check this out. I have a question to ask you. Do you recall thinking just a few years ago, 4 or 5 years ago, that it would be 20 years before we would get to the progressive movement? I was there when you read 1984, by the way.
Yeah. When, 20 years ago, when what?
You had thought it would be 20 years before we would get our ship right.
Yeah.
Just 4 or 5 years ago. And now, don't you see actually, Mike, and I'm going to subscribe, by the way, whatever you're doing, Truth to Power tonight.
Yeah.
And saying, subscribe to this. I'm subscribing tonight on the web. With my credit card or PayPal or whatever you accept, I'm going to figure you out. I was at KTLK, but I'm going to figure it out, and I'm going to subscribe to you. Whether or not I can hear you or not, at any point in the galaxy, I think your voice needs to be heard.
Well, I appreciate that. Now, if I could just get you know, a couple thousand more people to agree with that. Ken, thanks. I appreciate you checking in. Sorry for the audio problems. It wouldn't be the Malloy program without all these goddamn problems. I swear, we're gonna have to do this at some point here. Disconnect everything. Maybe we can get Brad Friedman to substitute for us for a week or something while we reconfigure everything in the studio, because it's really in bad shape. And I do apologize. I know how irritating this can be. I really do. Lost my train of thought. Anyway, thanks for checking in. Let's see if Tony in L.A. can hear us. Can you hear us okay, Tony?
Oh, yeah, I can.
Oh, good. Hi.
Good. Hi, how are you?
I haven't heard from you for a while.
Oh, no, I know. I'm back.
Did I irritate you? Did I say something to piss you off?
Oh, no, I'm listening all the time.
Okay, I'm just kidding, Tony.
You know, we cool.
Okay.
No, I was just calling to weigh in on the whole Gates thing. You know, it's not so much to me racial profiling as it is, you know, this white police officer just couldn't get over that this black man, you know, had the balls to talk to him like that.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you know, cops get cursed out, called everything but a child of God every day.
That's true.
You know what I mean? That's just almost like a part of the job. And it just really came down to, you know, the whole black man against a white man thing, basically. Because you, let me tell you, if a brother arrested Ted Kennedy out of his house in Massachusetts and put cuffs on him,
uh-oh,
he wouldn't be able to be a cop nowhere in the Western Hemisphere. And we all know that. You know what I mean?
Oh, sure. Yeah, of course. Of course I know what you mean. What is intriguing to me is, is the fact that this is being seen by so much of mainstream media as a confrontation between a white cop and a black man in his own house, when in fact what this represents is what you know it represents, and that is this ongoing, never-ending struggle to get folks to just look at each other and not be caught up by the color thing.
Exactly.
So it's a shame that this just keeps on happening. I mean, it's a shame in the big picture that we have to continue to confront the fact that, in my opinion, it's never going to be resolved. It's only going to be resolved on a little individual basis where a white person and black person can come together in their little world, be friends, and try to ignore all that overarching racism that is so deeply embedded in this country, it's never going to go away. And that's the only solution to me as far as I'm concerned.
Exactly. Because basically, I think, who was it? Another talk show host said, where does the racial, you know, conversation start? To me, you have to start with yourself.
That's true.
You know, I, as a black person, like you said, we know the deal. You know, what I'm a little tired of, you know, is, you know, if a black, he got irate and he was already in his own house.
Right.
You know, that you have all these people. Why are we even arguing the question, the fact that the president of the United States has to get a bill?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like you said about these birth people, you know, the hell with them. I'm just to the point, you know, if you want to deal with racism, deal with it in yourself, because you are all white to me. Now, this is me talking.
Uh-huh.
To me, like you've said many times, most all white people are racist to some degree. You know what I mean?
If they were brought up in this country, they couldn't not be.
They couldn't help but be it, because if this country can make black people hate themselves, how can you know, white people escape that? You know, and the bottom line is, the only way it's going to be a conversation is we can start from the premise that it exists, and how are we going to go from there? You know what I mean? All this other stuff is insane. I'm tired of even black people apologizing for, you know, oh, well, maybe gay should have, you know, that's insane.
Right.
You know, they're crazy, too.
Well, what you just said, Tony, you know, if this society can get black people to hate themselves, what the hell is it doing to white people? Tony, I got to leave it there. Thanks. Don't be a stranger. I appreciate you checking in. You know, the other thing that was intriguing to me was how so many people in mainstream media went off on Barack Obama when he was at that press conference and said that the police acted stupidly. That was an absolutely true, coherent, rational statement. Obama has held back. Obama has tried to pretend that this race thing doesn't exist. And I'm not saying that as a negative aspect of Barack Obama. He's tried to be post-racial. He's tried to think all his life, I would assume. And he certainly had the background to do it with a black parent and a white parent. Raised by white people in a society that still condemns people because of the color of their skin. So he certainly had the background in understanding this whole race issue. And he kept it, you know, he's not come out and kicked the hell out of people because of the racism in this country. So he says one thing, that the police department acted stupidly, which was the absolute truth. There is no question it was the truth. Now it turns out that the cop lied. It always turns out this way, doesn't it? This is what irritates me as a Caucasian. It always turns out, every single damn time, every time, every single time, that the white cop in a situation like this lied. And now we have the transcript from the 9/11 call and the testimony of the woman who made the call through her attorney that the cop lied. Now, what are we supposed to do? See, nobody's saying anything about that in white America, are they? Not a soul. Well, I am.
one flying monkey at a time. It's More Mike Malloy.
21 past the hour. Something, we're coming back to your calls here in just a second. Something that I saw last week that just really kind of blew me away. Coal miners and their employers. I can understand the employers' scam in this. Coal miners and their employers in West Virginia are encouraging a boycott of travel to Tennessee in retaliation for Republican Senator Lamar Alexander's support of a federal ban on mountaintop removal. You understand this? I'm amazed that Lamar Alexander has come out in favor of not blowing the tops off mountains because he is a Republican, and that means he doesn't give a tinker's damn about the environment or about workers. So I don't know. I don't get this support. But anyway, he supported it. So coal miners and their employers in West Virginia are saying stay away from Tennessee because of what Senator Alexander supported. As the Times reports, the idea for a boycott surfaced after a large group of opponents from West Virginia attended a congressional committee hearing in late June on a bill that would forbid the pollution of streams with debris from surface mining techniques like mountaintop removal. Alexander of Tennessee is the only Republican to co-sponsor the bill, which is called the Appalachia Restoration Act. And an official from the Tennessee Department of Environment and Conservation testified in the bill's favor. In response, two mining companies canceled their annual company picnics at Dollywood, Dolly Parton's amusement park, and the Great Smoky Mountains in Tennessee. That's according to a letter from Richard Phillips, an executive of Coal Mac in West Virginia. A mining company, equipment company in Kentucky, urged its employees not to visit Tennessee. And a miner support organization named Citizens for Coal, miner support organization, my ass, chimed in. The letter was first reported by West Virginia Public Broadcasting. In his letter to several chambers of commerce in Tennessee, Mr. Phillips, the Coal Mac executive, said 80% of Coal Mac's 300 employees traveled to Tennessee monthly, and that the cancellation of two company picnics would cost Tennessee more than 3,000 visitors. This corporatist pig wrote, quote, "If you want our industry's business, we suggest you let your representatives know that the industry they're trying to destroy is a major source of your tourism money," end quote. This is astonishing. But you see how capitalism, in its most vile, putrid form, which is capitalism that runs the coal mines in West Virginia, all of Appalachia for that matter. These are just, that they don't care. They don't care how much black lung they give their miners. They don't care how many people they kill. They don't care how much environment they destroy, how many mountains they blow to pieces. You saw that video I had up on my website when those enormous thugs came to a picnic of peaceful people who wanted to preserve the West Virginia countryside and threatened to kill them all and cut their babies' throats. You saw the video I had up. But this is what predatory corporatism does in its most acute form. It puts worker against worker. Now, back in the day, it would pit black worker against white worker. Before that, Catholic worker against Jewish worker. Before that, Protestant worker against the Catholic worker. Before that, immigrant against nativist. This is what this filthy, putrid corporatism does. So now we have miners in West Virginia signing on, being forced to sign on, either out of complete ignorance or fear of losing their jobs, to a boycott of the state of Tennessee because the senator from Tennessee wants to stop the blowing off of the tops of mountains and the attendant pollution and death and destruction that causes. Son of a bitch. This is a part that drives me crazy. Talk about Stockholm Syndrome. Workers against workers. Workers being, it's not even Stockholm Syndrome, it's just fear. Workers being told, support the mining companies, screw the workers down in Tennessee, screw the workers in Pennsylvania, to hell with the people in Georgia. You support mountaintop removal. Work against other miners. What the hell ever happened to the United Mine Workers Union? Whatever happened to people like John L. Lewis, who would have picked up a goddamn gun on the announcement of this crap and would have walked into the nearest mining company and casually suggested that they better back off? Whatever happened to that? Well, we know what happened to it. The mining companies hired enough goons to make sure that that sort of thing never was to happen again. But I just couldn't believe it. West Virginia Coal Miners Group encourages boycotting Tennessee because a Republican senator from Tennessee had the absolute temerity, the only Republican in the Senate, to vote in favor of ending mountaintop removal. Full-scale destruction. So I, you know, it's that kind of stuff that makes me think to myself that the odds of turning this around are slim at best.
The Mike Malloy Show, all substance, no abuse.
Celebrate the next 100 years of engineering excellence at the GMC Summer Event. Check out the legendary 09 Sierra 1500 or the 8-passenger Acadia. Visit GMCDealer.com. Take delivery by July 31st. See dealer for details. About 25 before the hour. Well, this is interesting. I just got it from Tim in Grand Junction, Colorado. Tim writes, Mike, please check out today's edition of Amy Goodman's Democracy Now, if you haven't already. I haven't. Since you're coming to the Pacific Northwest, this is an issue that raises very serious questions about just how much the federal government has been spying on and infiltrating peace and social activist groups. Evidently, a former U.S. soldier had infiltrated a nonviolent peace group in Tacoma and Olympia, Washington, and had been feeding the feds, military, and local authorities all sorts of information about the group. The spy was found out by one of the activists when the activist submitted a Freedom of Information Act request, and the guy's name came up all over the place. When confronted, the individual admitted his guilt. Amy's whole show was devoted to this. Hopefully, it might lead to a church committee-style hearings in Congress about this egregious violation of the Posse Comitatus Act, among other things. Tim in Grand Junction. I don't think so. I don't think it will evoke the least bit of concern. Don't forget, Tim, that the Bush administration initiated and the Obama administration has continued an all-encompassing, massive spying program against every citizen in the United States through our telecommunications back and forth. So a spy who infiltrates a peace organization is like an eye blink. And I'm not trying to be patronizing here or to be cavalier about the whole idea. I agree with you. But why would Congress investigate such a thing, which is what you mean by a church committee style hearing? Why would Congress investigate such a thing when Congress has signed off on the legality of allowing the telecom companies to spy on everybody? You get my point. Back in the 70s, when it was discovered what Nixon had done, sure, Senator Frank Church, the church committee hearings, Big deal. All sorts of legislation came as a result. That no, the CIA should not be spying on American citizens. No, the FBI should not be infiltrating peaceful organizations. Yada, 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 yada. And legislation was passed, all of which has been effectively negated at this point in our history. It's gone. It doesn't exist anymore. It may still be on the books, but it's meaningless. Because, you see, we are now engaged in a war on terror. We're engaged in a war on a tactic. And the continuing destruction of constitutional protections in this country is not going to stop. Who is there to stop it? And I'm not getting funky with you, Tim. Who is it there to stop the infiltration, to stop the spying, to stop the monitoring? Who? Somebody tell me who. This is the new America. You figure out how to continue whatever you're doing, whatever one is doing, regardless of these intrusions. Or you consider the intrusions to be so counter to the rule of law that you just stop, you give up. That is the idea, is to make everybody give up. Everybody. It's to make everybody come to the conclusion, just like the Republicans have destroyed the political system by corrupting it to the point where it's meaningless anymore. And a lot of Democrats went along with that when they realized there was money in it for them. So just as the political system has been totally corrupted, it can't be reformed. I think that should be apparent to anyone who thinks the political system can't be reformed. It has to be replaced. I mean, that's simple, right? The government surveillance programs can't be reformed. They have to be stopped. But who's to stop it? How many citizens take to the streets when this sort of thing becomes common knowledge? 100? Maybe 1,000? What is that as a percentage of the U.S. population? Right. So, again, Tim, I'm not trying to be flip or cavalier about your email, but the fact that a so-called spy infiltrated a couple of peace groups in up the Pacific Northwest is completely devoid of any meaning whatsoever. It means nothing. It really doesn't. Sadly, but it doesn't. Bill is calling from... Bill from Jersey, who doesn't really live in New Jersey. Hey, Bill.
Hey, Mike. First off, I'm glad to hear. I can hear in your voice that your health is improving. We could not do without you on the air.
Well, thanks.
Great bumper music, as always. I need Kathy's playlist. But getting right to the point, I saw a picture on HuffPost today that just made me so angry. Picture of the Blue Dog Democrats standing in front of the microphone, and I'm saying, and I gave them the one-finger salute, and yeah. They didn't see me, of course, but there's so many people talking about this health care plan and what to do and what to modify. I figured out what we need to do, just like in back days of the Vietnam-era demonstrations, exponentially. You once upon a time... short while ago said remember the 5th of November.
Right.
I'm saying, and they're talking about getting this plan through in the fall or by the end of the year. If we can schedule a point in time, I would call it remembering the 5th of September. And what my plan is, stop talking and start walking.
Mm-hmm.
Millions, tens of millions of people that are part of this 75% of Americans need to converge on Washington, surround in D.C., like, you know, something tantamount to what they put the British out of the country and say, look, you people are not going home. You work for us. You make more money than us. You've got a health plan. This is where it stops. We are surrounding Washington. You're working overtime. You are not leaving your office until we get this through. And I'm telling you, if for whatever it takes, I'm setting up a website that says that very tagline. I am so angry.
Well, when you get it set up, let us know, and we'll put a link up. There certainly are enough unemployed Americans right now that have the time, so to speak, to make some demands. You know, I'm thinking about the bonus marchers in Washington that I've read about in history, veterans from, I think it was World War I, who were promised bonuses and never got them, and then the Depression hit, and they started marching. I may have this all wrong historically, but I'm not Tom Hartman. I wish I were sometimes. But they marched on Washington with the idea of violence if they didn't get what had been promised to them. And the military was called out. And the order came down that it might be necessary to open fire on American citizens, but the cooler heads prevailed, and it didn't happen. They were called the bonus marchers. A quick Wikipedia research will give you an idea. But I think that's what you're talking about. All those people were available to do it because they're all unemployed. And I'm just wondering, you know, we've talked about, or I've talked about in the past 6, 7, 8 years, why aren't people protesting? And the idea was, well, jobs are starting to disappear, and everybody's got to hold on to their job. I'm talking 5 years ago, because who knows what the future holds? Well, the future's here, and right. we have 15%, 18%, 19% unemployment. So maybe now, or maybe we have to get in worse shape, Bill, until people do what you're saying: stop talking and start walking.
Yeah, and if I may interject, I'm not talking about guns or any kind of violence.
No, I understand.
Right, and if millions, tens of millions, which is certainly a small fraction of 75% of the country, surround Washington, occupy it, and say, this is it. You know, this is it. You're going to do this for us. You know, like I said before, you got better wages, better health care than we do. You work for us. We're your bosses.
Yeah.
We, by one fashion or another, pay your wages or have voted you into office. And
but
you know, what are they going to do? This is going to be on worldwide TV. And what are they going to do? The rest of the world watching. What are they going to do?
But Bill, let me just interject. You, yeah. I'm sure you do understand that they don't work for us anymore, and they haven't for about 20 years. Somebody can make an argument that's a hell of a lot longer than that, but they don't work for us. We don't pay them. We don't even select them. We have the illusion that we are selecting them when we all traipse to the polls to vote for either the right-wing moron or the left-wing moron. But they don't work for us anymore. The fact that they get, you know, a stinking hundred and whatever it is now, what is it, 150 grand, 120 grand to be a House member or a senator, that's chump change. You know, they use that to buy bathroom tissue. The people who are really footing the bill and paying their way is corporate America. And all the different industrial complexes, whether it's military or pharmaceutical or, you know, whatever it is. But you and I have nothing to do with it anymore. We do not pay them. You might say that they get a gratuity from us with their so-called paychecks. So we can't go there and ask them, you know, demand, since we pay them, they got to reform. We got to go there and demand that, since we know that we don't pay them anymore, they better reform. Or we will let them out of Washington, D.C. We just won't let the sons of bitches back in.
Everybody's smoking, and no one's getting high. Everybody's flying, and never touch the sky. There's UFOs over New York, and I ain't too surprised.
Feel it everywhere.
Thanks to the crew tonight: Ben Birch, Kathy Bay, Sharon Gordy, Bob Alexander, Richard Wolf, Bruce Enberg. Did I mention Kathy Bay? Well, I should mention her twice. She engineers and executive produces the program. Back to your phone calls for the remaining of the program here. Stephen is calling from Burbank, California. Hey, Stephen.
Hi, Mike.
Hi.
There is a belief amongst some of us that corporate America doesn't want to have meaningful health reform because that would mean extra discretionary income for the working class, lower middle class, etc.
Uh-huh.
And maybe we would get sick and tired of buying, you know, the latest electronic gadget toy out of whatever store there is, and instead we invest in a solar panel, like for a commune or something like that.
Can't have that.
And also, that old gasoline engine that in my clunker car that I've had since 1977, it could run 20 generators at the same time with no sweat. You know, so you burn the gas until all the solar panels are in. We don't want to burn gas. Hell, after it's all over with, we could turn it into some kind of a way to pump water out of the stream, you know, uphill.
Can't have that.
Just like Pat Hingle's character in The Ugly American. I read the book, and The Ugly American is not Marlon Brando's character. The Ugly American was the forerunner to the Peace Corps, where people who really wanted to do good in the world went to other places that were third world and were, you know, devastated by economic conditions and stuff like that.
Right.
And that was his idea to do that. He just went there, tried to help out, do good things. And so every time I hear an ugly American, you know, we got to know a little bit more. Anyway, Mike, you might have another excellent caller with better extrapolation.
No. You're always good to hear from you, Stephen. Thank you. I appreciate what you had to say. God, I haven't read The Ugly American in 30 years, maybe 35, maybe 40, a long, long, long time ago. Might be time to reread it, huh? Andy is in El Paso. Hey, Andy.
Reminds me of a book I read about 25 years ago in a federal prison system. It's called When Black Elk Speak.
Oh, yeah. Black Elk, yes. I have not read it, but I'm real familiar with the book you're talking about.
Preface, you know, the beginning of it, you know, the opening of it says, where white man touched, the earth is sore.
Say it again?
Where white man touched, the earth is sore.
Oh, yeah. I wonder why.
That book was written in about 1952?
Yeah.
49, 52, I forgot about that. God, what a book, you know, it's just... Sent chills up my spine, but I was going to talk about that Gates thing. That thing is wore out, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But there's something on CNN this morning where they're doing the 9/11 transcript.
Yeah.
And I heard him yesterday on another talk show, Lynch Daniels, actually. But I was watching it this morning on CNN, and they changed it, you know. They changed what he actually said, you know.
Oh, they changed what who said?
What the officer said.
What do you mean they changed it? Who changed it?
Well, you know, what I heard yesterday in the original, you know, what came off the 9/11 thing.
Uh-huh.
And he said, well, I have ID'd the person in the house, but keep the cars coming, you know.
Right.
And today what I saw on CNN, they didn't say anything about IDing the homeowner. Just said, keep the cars coming. They said, talk to the person, he's belligerent, but keep the cars coming.
Didn't say
anything about IDing them, you know.
Interesting. Everything I've read or seen about, now that tape has been released, Andy, I've seen that. I mean, I don't know if there was some editing going on at CNN or they just didn't get to that part. I have no idea. Andy, we're almost out of time. Thanks, man. I hope you call back in. But what I've seen... is the proof, because it's in the transcript, not in the transcript, but in the actual recording of the 9/11 call by the woman who saw the two men, including Mr. Gates, Professor Gates, trying to get into this house. And you can hear the entire tape, and not once does she use the word black. When asked to describe the two people, she makes the point of saying, well, they might live there. One is maybe Hispanic, and the other one I can't tell. The cop swears that when he showed up on the scene, that he asked the woman who made the phone call to state once again what she saw. And he claimed in his report that once again she said, two black men with backpacks, which, according to her, the woman, and her attorney, she never said at all. So the point I was trying to make a few minutes ago, right after Tony called in, is once again, when the story is parsed, when you take a look, you know, everybody wanted to make this a he said story. Okay, let's do that. Let's make it a he said story. Let's we don't have to go any further. What did the officer say? The officer lied. Do you need to go beyond that? If you need to go beyond that, go ahead. But if a cop shows up and then puts in his report certain wording, certain sentences that he attributes to witnesses that never occurred, what's that called? What do you call that? It's first of all, it's called a lie. But secondly, is it not filing a false police report? Isn't there something about that that is illegal? Of course there is. So as far as I'm concerned, being Caucasian, I can say this. This is just one more example of a white thug using this country's embedded racism to get over on a black man who is doing nothing but trying to explain himself in his own goddamn house with his own identification, trying to explain himself. And the white thug ignores him. I'll see you tomorrow night. Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy.
My name is Dave.